I too greet you in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here. So as I was pondering the different men that were mentioned from the Bible this morning, a question that many of them had to ask themselves is, what does God want me to do? And many of them made a decision based on that question. Those that went forward. And this morning, the title that I want to leave with us here this morning is, what does God want me to do? And I'd like to turn to James chapter 1 and just look at some of the verses here. And we see that I believe James was talking to people like us. Maybe we can just pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before you this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you that we have the privilege of standing before the preaching of your word. We thank you for your word here. And Lord, I just pray that you would minister to the needs that we have. Lord, we're here because we want to learn. We want to be taught. And we just ask you to give us the things that we need this morning. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 1 here, and maybe I'll just start reading here in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When we just stop and look at some of the things here, in verse 2 there, it talks about to count it all joy when trials come, when life is hard. And when we stop and process that, you know, that seems a little strange. And it's not something we tend to, like, we want to avoid those hardships. And it's not something that we would like, well, yeah, I had a really good day, I'm joyful today. And it's like, well, what happened to you? And it's like, well, I had hard things today. That's not usually what we hear coming out of people's mouths. But he's saying that, you know, we should be joyful. And so maybe we need to understand why we should be. And it's an opportunity to be stretched, to be more like Jesus, you know, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, so when we understand why we should be joyful and why trials, you know, it's not something to be afraid of, but rather it's an opportunity to be drawn to the Lord. It's an opportunity to allow patience to be worked out in our lives. And when we allow that to happen, then we truly can experience the joy of the Lord. verse 5 there, you know, if we lack wisdom, we ask God. You know, when we come to a place where it's like, well, I don't know what to do next. And it gives us an opportunity to recognize our abilities, our lack of wisdom. And we have to humble ourselves. We want to come to God and say, hey, I need some help. And when we ask, he gives to us. We need to ask in faith. Verse 9 and 10 there, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. We see here, you know, life, the person that isn't really anywhere, you know, is to rejoice in that he is exalted. And when we experience hardships and are made low, you know, to be reminded that we're of ourselves, we're nothing. It is only through the Lord that we can be anything. And I think we were reminded of that, you know, we can't put our hope and trust into the things that we've accomplished, into the riches of life, but rather it needs to be in the Lord. In verse 12 there, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endures temptations, trials. And the promise is that if we see those things through and we keep our focus on the Lord, that we will receive the crown of life. And so when we experience trials and temptations, we have to have a focus, a vision to hold us through. And when we understand that what the crown is, what the reward is, when we're true, that we will have a crown of life and that we will experience the peace of God, it motivates us. It gives us the ability to walk through those things. In verse 17 there, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. When we understand that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, that the blessings that we're experiencing are from God, give us courage. In verse 19 there, it talks about swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, when we when we see something or we hear something that I don't appreciate or don't agree, or maybe it's against me, what rises up in us? You know, it's like we want to speak out and defend and, you know, say a thing or two about it. But this verse is telling us to, you know, we need to be quick to hear. And when I think about, you know, hearing means that we're processing those things. And then we are wise to not speak into those things quickly, but make sure that we really understand those things. And if we apply those things into our lives, we can much easier apply that last part, you know, slow to wrath, that becomes a reality in our lives. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so we do well to understand that and to remember that. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Something that verse 22 there, I believe that if we can grab a hold of that verse and apply it to our lives, it is easy to hear things and to let them go. But verse 22 here, he's telling us to not only to be hearers, but to be doers of the word. And if we want to accomplish that, we have to take the things in that we hear. When we hear God speaking to us and prompting us, it has to come in. It has to penetrate into our hearts. And then we have to take action and apply it to our own lives. And it tells us there in verse 23 there, if ye be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You know, who of us, when we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and it's like, oh yeah, I should fix my hair, or my face needs washed. It's like, well, I'm not going to bother to do that. You know, when we see ourselves, we typically, in a physical sense, when we realize that something isn't right, we try to fix that. Now, it's maybe not uncommon for some of us to get up and we forget. We forget how to look in the mirror and see if our hair needs attention. Some of us, that's probably not a problem. But in some cases, we forget and don't do anything. And I think maybe that can happen in the busyness of life. We get used to seeing and hearing certain things, and we forget. We know that things aren't right, but we forget to apply them to our own lives. And so my challenge to each one of us is that we purpose to be good hearers, that we, as we go through each day, you know, as we start our day, as we go through our days, that we purpose to receive something and not only hear it, but then that we also try to apply it to our lives. And I think it's especially easy for us to do that when we sit in front of teachers that are speaking truth. And it's like we hear those things as good things. But let's not forget to, on purpose, apply them to my own personal life and allow God to work those things out. In verse 26 there, talks about the tongue. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So we see here the tongue will show who we are. It, you know, we can try to look right, but our tongue will get us in trouble. And so, you know, we can try to just fix the tongue, but you know that doesn't work so well. My experience was in that, and I remember very well when my tongue was not controlled and it wasn't used to being controlled. And then I put myself, or I was in a new group of people that lived a different life. And for a while I tried to just like, you know, just to speak and talk the way they talked. It worked when my guards were very high, but you know, when something happened that I wasn't expecting, I would hear words coming out that is like, oh wow, I know those words aren't acceptable. And so we can quickly, if we're diligent, we can, if we are listening, you know, let's listen to what our tongue is saying. What is coming out? And if there's things that we realize aren't good, we need to address those things in our lives, and it's probably going to have to start in the heart. And then, as our heart changes, our tongue will change as well. In verse 27, there, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To pay attention to those that are needy, that have, you know, it's something that we see ourselves doing as we, as our heart is right with God, we see those things taking place. And you know, it's important for us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, not to become like the world. So we, those are things that are important to us. So as we look through this chapter, you know, we can quickly see that it feels like this is normal life. These are things that we face, and we need to live, work through these things. So the question that I would have for us is, you know, how am I living that life? How am I doing? You know, when I look at verse 22 there, to not only be hearers, but to be doers of the word, less deceiving your own selves. So there's three, as I was looking at that, you know, there's three places that we possibly could be this morning, and maybe there's more, but three that I'd like to point out. You know, number one, our goal, and we would like to be here, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, we don't always find ourselves here. But living with purpose, goals, and doing well. And so when we're in that position, we're hearing God's word, and we're doing it. Number two, we find ourselves in a rut or habit of just living, trying to stay on top. And life is so busy that we sort of lose the vision or purpose of why I'm here. And then number three, maybe we never really found a way to live life with real meaning and purpose. We just, you know, maybe we've never gotten beyond that. And so the question that I believe in all three of these, that if we want to stay in number one, that we have to do is, the question we have to do is, what does God want me to do? You know, living with purpose, goals, and doing well, to stay there, that's something that it matters to me. And it's a question that we maybe don't hear ourselves asking, but it is something that we live. And, you know, how God's word applies. You know, we think about that, and those things were mentioned to us this morning. Applying God's word to my life. Speaking God's word into my life. Living God's word out in my life. You know, those are things that needs to be a reality if we want to be in that first group, you know, applying God's word and speaking God's word and living God's word. And as we do that, our lives will reflect His word and His will in not only in our lives, but to others as well. And when we're in that group, you know, that's just a continual, something that continues. You know, it's not like the question, you know, that we hear and that we ask ourselves, what does God want me to do? You know, that's something that we know right now that God wants us to be here, and we're doing that. But tomorrow we will very likely find ourselves in a different situation, and it could be something that was planned for, but it could also be something that just comes up in a spur of the moment, and we have to ask ourselves that question. Or we can just, you know, if we're living in that first group, we can't just make educated decisions and just do what we want. if we are in the number two or three group, and we want, you know, want to see change, and we think about hearing and being doers of the word, it means we have to, on purpose, do something. On purpose, to invite, to claim change into our lives. You know, if we keep doing what we, you know, if we are stuck in a rut, or if we've never really found a way to live real meaning and be purposeful, unless, you know, we can just claim that's like, well, that's my lot in life. This is where I managed to get stuck in. And if we have that outlook, and that's probably about as far as we're going to get. But if we realize that we hear God's word, we hear God speaking to us, and we realize that God doesn't really, this isn't exactly what he has in mind for me, it means that we have to grab that with purpose, invite it and claim it, and allow it to change our lives. And in some cases, sometimes when we look at change, it all looks big. It looks too much. And those are things that we, you know, have to take to the Lord. We have to give it to him. We have to hear what God is telling us. And we have to be doers of the word. God will help us. God is a merciful God. He is long-suffering, and he will work with us one thing at a time. You know, take one project at a time. Take one day at a time. Hear God's word and do God's word. You know, when we think about people that are active and doing and are making things happening, we see those people when they come into a setting and they want to be helpful, but maybe they're not exactly sure what they should do. Typically, we see those people finding someone and saying, asking, it's like, hey, what can I do? I want to help. And so that's what we need to do with God when we find ourselves with things that we know we don't want to be there. Is we need to start asking, how can I change? And we ask the Lord, we ask people, we get input, and we find encouragement by doing that. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, tells us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We can take these things the way that man would, you know, and it seems right and it seems to work, but it doesn't. And in Mark chapter 7, is we consider our hearts in Mark 7, verse 21 to 23 there, tells us about our hearts here. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So when we think about being, you know, living life with purpose, goals, and doing well, and maintaining that, you know, it's very apparent, very obvious, and I think we understand that we all deal with this heart that will, if we don't deal with it, that these are the kinds of things that we will find coming out of our hearts and lives. So it is something that we all deal with, and it is very important that we make verse 22 in James there real in our lives, that we hear God's word, and not only hear it, but that we apply it to our own lives and allow it to work out. It is it's not that, you know, we have a quick, easy fix and then it's all behind us, but rather it's a lifestyle. It's a getting up in the morning and choosing to serve Christ, choosing to live on purpose, choosing to have goals, and not to be easily distracted by those things. Choosing to hear and then to apply God's word. And I think about that in a setting like this here, the way we find ourselves here, you know, it's very easy to go through a service like this. And we hear good songs, we participate in good songs, we listen to the messages that are taught, we listen to God's word being read. And the conclusion that we come to often is, those were good things. Or that speaker wasn't very clear, or whatever we walk away with. But the challenge that I would like to leave with us is that we come listening on purpose here. And it's like, okay, what can I take home today? What can I apply to my life? And God doesn't take us from A to Z overnight, but he works on us. But we have to take it in. We have to want it. He gives it to us. What we do with it is our choice. And so let's purpose on taking those things in. You know, not only today, but let's make it a lifestyle. We hear God. We take those things in. And we allow them to be worked out in our own lives. In closing, in Psalms chapter 1, a chapter that I believe we're very familiar with, verse 2 and 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe that those verses are talking to us. He's talking about believers. And we see that the heart needs to be watered. And so, you know, as we, you know, take those things in, we need to continually be taking those things in. The moment that we get lax and we just start meandering through life, we slowly, you know, start drying up. And we lose our focus, our purpose, and our joy. And, you know, pretty soon we find ourselves asking this question, what am I here for? And probably if we're honest with ourselves, we're not doing verse 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, taking it in, being fed, being just getting stronger, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so, as we enter our days, as we go through our days, let's be mindful of what God would have us to do. In the moments, in the bigger pictures, you know, do we have a purpose and a vision? May God bless you as we allow God to work that out in each one of our hearts and lives.